Section 4. A man, a woman, and a light switch. The classic model for understanding what it means to lose the ability to mind read is the condition of autism. When someone is autistic, he or she is, in the words of the British psychologist Simon Baron Cohen, mind blind. People with autism find it difficult, if not impossible, to do all of the things that I've been describing so far as natural and automatic human processes. They have difficulty interpreting nonverbal cues, such as gestures and facial expressions, or putting themselves inside someone else's head, or drawing understanding from anything other than the literal meaning of words. Their first impression apparatus is fundamentally disabled, and the way that people with autism see the world gives us a very good sense of what happens when our mind-reading faculties fail. One of the country's leading experts on autism is a man named Ami Klein. Klein teaches at Yale University's Child Study Center in New Haven, where he has a patient whom he's been studying for many years, whom I'll call Peter. Peter is in his 40s. He is highly educated and works and lives independently. This is a very high-functioning individual. We meet weekly and we talk, Klein explains. He's very articulate, but he has no intuition about things, so he needs me to define the world for him. Klein, who bears a striking resemblance to the actor Martin Short, is half Israeli and half Brazilian, and he speaks with an understandably peculiar accent. He has been seeing Peter for years, and he speaks of his condition not with condescension or detachment, but matter-of-factly, as if describing a minor character tic. I talk to him every week, and the sense that I have in talking to him is that I could do anything. I could pick my nose. I could take my pants down. I could do some work here. Even though he's looking at me, I don't have the sense of being scrutinized or monitored. He focuses very much on what I say. The words mean a great deal to him, but he doesn't focus at all on the way my words are contextualized with facial expressions and nonverbal cues. Everything that goes on inside the mind, that he cannot observe directly, is a problem for him. Am I his therapist? Not really. Normal therapy is based on people's ability to have insight into their own motivations. But with him, insight wouldn't take you very far. So it's more like problem solving. One of the things that Klein wanted to discover in talking to Peter was how someone with his condition makes sense of the world. So he and his colleagues devised an ingenious experiment. They decided to show Peter a movie and then follow the direction of his eyes as he looked at the screen. The movie they chose was the 1966 film version of the Edward Albee play Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, starring Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor as a husband and wife who invite a much younger couple, played by George Segal and Sandy Dennis, for what turns out to be an intense and grueling evening. It's my favorite play ever, and I love the movie. I love Richard Burton. I love Elizabeth Taylor, Klein explains. And for what Klein was trying to do, the film was perfect. People with autism are obsessed with mechanical objects, but this was a movie that followed very much the spare, actor-focused design of the stage. It's tremendously contained, Klein says. It's about four people and their minds. There are very few inanimate details in that movie that would be distracting to someone with autism. If I had used Terminator 2, where the protagonist is a gun, I wouldn't have got these results. It's all about intensive, engaging social interaction at multiple levels of meaning, emotion, and expression. What we are trying to get at is people's search for meaning. So that's why I chose Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I was interested in getting to see the world through the eyes of an autistic person.